Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel. I am joined this week by David McDonald.
Hi.
It is Wednesday, the 18th of September, 2024. This is episode 328 of our podcast. Mm-hmm. How are you today?
I'm just finishing up work, so that's always joyful. Dopes. Kind of seeing where life takes me at this point. I don't know. I'm excited for sports, but I don't know. Today was a weird day. It seemed like everybody was in kind of a mood today. Everybody that I dealt with, everybody has been struggling with their own inner turmoils. It's just like, must be the weather or something.
We had lovely weather here. It's been extremely sunny today.
Is it right?
And it's been good, actually, because yesterday I took my class out to a cross-country run, and the weather is really nice for that. And today we have double PE in the afternoons, like sports class on Wednesdays, and the weather was lovely for that as well. So it's been very sunny, spent about an hour outside in the fields with my kids and the cat before bedtime, enjoying the sunset. So that was really nice.
So what are you miserable about? Why don't you tell me?
I've got no money. I've got a week till payday. Yeah. And we went and did some shopping a couple of days ago at supermarket Asda. And when we get to the checkout, obviously, when we've got two kids with us, it's a good idea strategy to sort of split up. So I'll take the kids and entertain them while she does all the shopping.
Okay.
So this happened again. So Arthur was saying that he needs a wee, because we toilet training this summer, so we're really happy about that. So I said, okay, I'll take Arthur to the toilet. And then Manny made some sort of snarky comment as I walked off to the toilet. I didn't quite catch it. I was like, okay, just ignored it.
Oh.
And then we're driving home, and she got a notification from a bank on her phone saying that the transaction had been rejected, like it declined. We had all these groceries that we hadn't paid for, and we're like, oh, fuck. So I decided to phone up the supermarket and be like, look, this is what's just happened. Because I never know what they're going to do. Like, if they're going to send the feds after us or cancel Mally's visa or something. And then I checked my account, and then I've got no money left either. And then she started going off where she was like, every single time we go to the supermarket, it's time to pay. You find some bullshit excuse and go, you take the children to the toilet or something, so I've got to pay for the groceries. I was like, what? I've just been ambushed here.
What?
Because that was totally not my intention. I thought I was being helpful. I thought I was being a good dad to take Arthur to have a little wee in the toilet. But I've just spunked all my money this month. I got myself one of the new fancy Nespresso coffee machines for my classroom.
Okay.
So I've been having like luxury coffee every morning. I treated myself to, Amazon always offer you a month of free Prime. So I did that, and then I've just been ordering a load of crap, like every day, just stuff that I don't really need, but I kind of want, like a laser pointer USB clicker thing for my computer at school, so I can I can click through my slides and point a laser at things. Yeah. Absolutely no need for that, but of course you need that. 7 days and fuck all money.
You need that. That's a very important thing. You need to be able to point and click.
All right, here's another one. The Wi-Fi on my school laptop was too slow.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get a Ethernet cable. I just ordered the first one I could find on Amazon, and then it arrived the next day. It's about 10 centimeters long. It was the tiniest cable I've ever seen, so it's completely useless. So I was like, oh, well, I better order another one.
All right, well, you can take that one back. You return that one. Oh, but and then here's the thing. That cord's not going to be expensive, right? That's just a couple of come on. Was it more than 5 pounds?
The next one that I ordered was about that.
Okay. All right.
So. But then my boss gave me a free one because she knew I was looking for one. So I was like, oh, well.
Listen, you can never have too many cords. Trust me. I have in my office, I have not only do I have a, you know, those little kind of like slidey drawer organization things. Usually you'll keep like small little things in it. I have cords and they're all separate. And then I have another box that I have yet to go through of cords that I don't even know what the fuck they go to. But I know
everyone has that. Everyone has the box of cords in their
good.
House.
Okay. So I don't feel like a maniac. I don't even know what half of this shit is. And it's probably technology that's like fucking decades old, right?
Obsolete. Right? Yeah.
I have nothing that would work with it, but I still have it.
You can't throw it away. You might need it one day.
I swear to you, and I'm not joking when I say this. Every time I do the purge, every time I try to like, okay, I'm going to fucking get rid of 90% of this shit because I don't need it. Swear to God, a week, maybe a little bit more, I'll need that exact same thing that I'm like, trust me, I remember having this fucking thing. And they're like, oh, no, you just threw it out. Happens every fucking time. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm certain I had a load of Ethernet cables when we moved out of our place in Bangkok. And I'm there kicking myself that I didn't keep at least one of them. So
wow.
You're right to hoard them.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
And I'll go so far as to say this. I have like at least 6 or 7 of them that are still sitting in the package. All right, hold on for 1 second. I got to go get my dinner. So you got to make up things to talk about, okay? Give me like 5 minutes.
Right, okay. I got this covered because I've been exchanging horror film discussion question topics with our friend Josh from Keeping It Strong Style because he revealed that he was a horror aficionado. So I sent him a question to discuss on the latest episode of Kiss. About my favorite horror film, probably one of my favorite films, full stop, which is the 1974 version of The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I could talk about for hours and hours and hours. And I was delighted to find that Josh also loved that film and said it was the scariest film he's ever seen. And I agree, because I watched that film way earlier than I should have. I must have been, I don't know, about 12 or 13 years old when I saw it, and it fucked me up, but in a good way. Like, those are core memories, so... strong recommendation for anyone who's into their horror films who's not already seen it. It's like, I'm sure most people have, but it is an absolute classic. So Josh did ask a question in return, and he said, what's my favorite or best modern horror film, in my opinion, post-2010? Which is a really difficult question, because when I wrap my brains with sort of like top 10 horror films, I think most of them would be pre-2010. And I don't know, I was thinking about this, and there are a lot of really outstanding horror films post-2010. The Ari Aster ones are great, like Midsommar, Hereditary, fantastic. And there are other critically acclaimed ones, Get Out, Cabin in the Woods, very sort of postmodern take on the genre. The Lighthouse, did some interesting stuff, The Witch as well. But in terms of ones that I've enjoyed the most... This one might be cheating a bit, because this one's not really a horror film. It's more of a Western with horror elements, but I absolutely loved it. That's a Bone Tomahawk. So that one, I think that would class as a horror film, but it's just a very, really absorbing and entertaining Western film that has extremely strong horror elements to it. Mm. So I think that one would pass as a horror film, but yeah, Bone Tomahawk. Not only a brilliant film, but also inspired House of Torture's signature team maneuver. The bit where, you know, when they have the guy upside down and hold his legs apart and Dick Togo or whoever it is does a karate chop.
Yes.
On their penis and testicles from the top rope. So, yeah, I'm sure that is a tribute to a famous scene in Bone Tomahawk. So I'll leave that to your imagination. I also really enjoyed the original version of Speak No Evil, which... I think it's a Danish film. It's European, somewhere out there in continental Europe, about a family who go on holiday with another family. And I really like that because it taps into the sort of social anxieties I have where, you know, you're at a social thing or you're with some people that you don't know that well. and they're just behaving a little bit off, and you think something's not right here, something's a bit weird, and all your instincts are telling you to sort of get out of there, but sort of the social norms and wanting to be polite and wanting to fit in kind of, you sort of try and quiet those voices of those disconcerted voices in your head. And then, yeah, just that's a really great film, like very slow build. They've remade it. I think it's out in the cinema now with James McAvoy. So I've not seen the remake yet, so I'm not passing judgment on that, but I really enjoyed the original for that.
Are these scary movies that you're going over? I'm sorry. Are these scary movies? Okay. Horror movies? Okay.
Yeah. So you missed it. The question to this, which was our friend Josh from Keeping It Strong Style asking what is my favorite horror film, modern horror film post 2010. So another one I really enjoyed was Creep. And I think there's a sequel to that, but that one was very good. Green Room. It's another one that's just popped into my head. I enjoyed that one a lot. There's an absolute batshit insane Spanish film I watched recently called The Coffee Table. And I don't want to reveal anything about it because it will ruin it, but it's got one of the most fucked up premises for a film imaginable. Ugh. But it's just brilliantly executed. And even with this like deeply disturbing and traumatic premise, actually has moments that are like, I found laugh out loud funny. If you are a parent, you may, that it might be a difficult one to watch, but I mean, I got a lot of sort of perverse enjoyment out of it anyway. So that's The Coffee Table. And last one I'd recommend is Backcountry. It's about a couple who go hiking in the woods, and it's not dissimilar to Blair Witch Project, not in terms of sort of supernatural stuff, but I also really enjoy sort of slow burn horror films where a situation is sort of gradually spiraling out of control. And you can sort of feel that tension creeping up, and you know things are going wrong, and you know people are making bad decisions, and it's all going to blow up in their face at some point. But just that creeping sense of dread and despair and hopelessness, I find, yeah, really, really does something for me. So that would be another recommendation. So there you go.
I have a band for you. Ever heard Joy Division? Maybe Rob your alley, you fucking goal.
It's got a question for you as well, Damon. But
let me do my question first, because let's follow up on this. Do you like feeling things when you watch movies? And I guess that's a weird question, but like, I don't. I hate it. I don't want to cry. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be fucking anxious. I don't want to feel any of those emotions. I have trouble understanding why people would want to do that as entertainment. Is that weird?
No, absolutely not. I think sort of horses for courses, really, because my life is so perfect, Damon,
right.
And I experience just undiluted joy, whatever it is I'm doing, then I need to sort of temper that by watching content that pushes me to extreme depths of terror and despair. Do you not get that thrill of just being scared off your tits,
nope.
You know, so scared that you don't even want to go to the toilet.
Nope. No. I don't want anything fucking to do with that. Like our dumb friends would be like, you want to go to the fucking hayride on Halloween? And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want somebody fucking popping up, trying to scare me. Cause I don't react well. I react dumb. When that happened, which is
I'm with you on that. I don't like jump scares. There's no art,
right,
or craft in someone sneaking up behind you going boom,
right? Okay.
And a lot of films do that. A lot of horror films do that, especially a lot of modern horror films. And that's cheating for me. That's why I think there's a lot of real craftsmanship and vision and skill in just being able to build tension and atmosphere rather than just go, it shocks you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, as far as I go with that is like maybe Sopranos. You know what I mean? Like, that's all the fucking tension I can handle. And here's the thing. I've never watched it with any other human being. Like, I've never sat and watched Sopranos with Cheryl. Cheryl will not watch it at all. She has no interest whatsoever. None. Zero. And she hates watching conflict on TV. Like, anybody who gets on like a little verbal, she's like, I'm out. She just fucking hates it.
What about cringe inducing things? Does she like cringe?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No. She wants the most, like, when I tell you, she sits and watches K-pop videos and like BTS documentaries and, you know, Blackpink things and whatever, like stuff, like completely mindless, not, like just nonsense. She wants absolutely zero.
Yeah, I get that. Sometimes you just want a bit of brain candy, don't you?
But that's it. That's all she does.
Anesthesia.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a, like, but she won't watch Curb. Like, Curb is like kryptonite to her. She's like, nope, no, this is incredibly, no, I don't want this. I can't watch this.
Right.
And then she gets a personal vendetta against the actor who plays the role. I hate that fucking guy. Like, you don't mind this. What are you talking about? He's a fucking dick in that show. I mean, he's playing a fucking character. What are you, 12? Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. But no, I don't like it either. I don't like being scared. I don't like feeling like you know, this is the dumbest thing, but I just don't like feeling emotion. I don't like it. I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel any of it. I don't know.
Through the conduit of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Is that different? You like to feel emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Through wrestling.
Yeah. But I don't know. But yet I still feel the same. Like I don't know. Maybe I feel the emotion in sports. Maybe I do. I just don't like that build. I don't know. I'm just not into it. I think that might be the main reason why I can't get into movies that much. Like, people who are like, I watched fucking, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a sad movie. Don't laugh at me, but because I can't think of any other, but I want to watch Schindler's List.
I knew you were going to say Schindler's List.
Did you really?
I was offering that one out there. Yeah.
That'd have been hilarious if you did. I would have cracked up. But that's the only one I could think of. But like, why would you want to watch that? Like, why? Why would anybody want to watch that? I don't understand it. Like, I understand it's a good movie, and I, you know, like as far as movies being made are, you know, but like, I just don't want to. I don't know. I don't know. I can't get it. I can't find it entertaining whatsoever. Sorry. So that's it. Don't you get scared? Don't you get scared watching a scary movie? Don't you get scared though, being in a house and being like, oh, what was that noise? Don't you get a little freaked out? Don't you freak yourself out doing it?
Yeah, but that's fun. Oh, I like that.
Really? No. Yeah. I just turn on the news. That's scary enough for me. That's my old man joke of the day.
Oh, satire. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, listeners, if you have any recommendations for me for good horror films that I may not have already seen, then send them my way.
Yeah. What was my question? I'm sorry.
Excitement level for The Cure's first LP in over 16 years.
Wowzers. Good question. I am excited. I thought they've been working on this album forever, though, Joel. This has been like fucking a million years in the making. And they actually played these songs live, and they were really good. Like, we're just like, whoa, this is like, yeah, all right. So, yeah, I'm pumped. If it actually comes, well, no, November, they announced November. Yeah. So, love them. They're one of my favorites. Hopefully this is good. It's been a long time in the making. I get very anxious with new music coming out. Like, if I know in advance, it's like, oh, I hope it's good. Because there's nothing worse than like listening to an album. You're like, I'm going to need to listen to this 12 more times to get into it. That's the worst feeling in the world. But when it hits, like, you're just like, oh, there it is. They got it. And then the next song, boop, whoa, there it is again. That's what I'm hoping for. I could use that. Because I feel like I'm in a little bit of a rut. I feel like I'm in a little bit of the same patterns when it comes to music. Hasn't really been anything new that I've been blown away by. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough making movies, music, rough life, rough fucking life. Why am I complaining about that? Who knows? All right.
Cheer you up talking about New Japan in Noboribetsu.
I'd rather talk about horror movies. Do you want to take a guess what I got takeout?
Mexican food.
That's a great guess. No, but incorrect. I'll give you one more.
Can I have a continent?
You can. Asian.
Oh, is it Korean food?
Great guess, but no. It's
what we got?
Your standard fucking Chinese. I got like beef lo mein.
Good. What were we ordering?
I got beef lo mein. I got Cheryl. She likes like fried rice. So I got her like a combo fried rice gimmick thing. And I think she's a big fan of the Crab Rangoon. We can't get any more American Chinese. Woo! Do you know what a crab rangoon is? What's that?
Is it like a little kind of deep fried parcel or something? With
yeah, crab yeah. So think of like, it's like a cream cheese like a and yeah, and fried. Yeah, I mean, if you fry anything, it's good. I mean, you could fry fucking whatever, and it'd be pretty good. But yeah, she digs that too. So she had a tough day at work. She said, this is kind of leads me on where everybody's kind of having a day. She had to do like a fucking work health fair. Ugh. Can you imagine the health fair at work? I'd rather jump off a bridge. And everybody's fucking giving her shit about it. Vendors were late. Employees don't listen to any instructions. I'm reading a direct quote. we fed everyone lunch and they complained they had dietary restrictions they never told us about.
Oh, God.
Our screeners are rude. I hate everyone. Like, it's that.
That sounds awful.
I couldn't imagine. Just the worst thing.
She deserves that Chinese food.
Yeah, she's like, I could you just get takeout? I don't want to do fucking anything tonight. And I was like, you got it. Done. No problem. And I think she's a little upset in the sense that, not upset, but like it seems like for a week I've had shit to do at night. And it's like, it's kind of that season, dear. You know, I'm kind of getting into the football, hockey kind of thing. And, you know.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, tag league's just around the corner.
Right. I mean, I'm
only going to get worse.
Right. I'm chock full. So, you know, I think she's a little like, we don't spend time together. It's like, all right. I hear you. I think her birthday's coming up.
Listen to that. That's important.
It is important. But like, you know, not for nothing. We got things to do. You got shit to do. I got shit to do. It's not, we live in the same house. We're not that fucking distant. It's not like you're in Iowa. Relax. You know, Jesus Christ. Like what new thing do you want to hear from me? I got nothing new.
Yeah, that's it. There's only so much you can tell each other when you right.
Wait, what do you,
so many years together, isn't
there? Right. It's like to the point where, I mean, this again, it's peaks and valleys, but it's like, all right, well, let's, what do you want me to do? What do you want to do? And I think she's getting a little weird.
What do you want? What do you want from me?
What do you want from me? What do you want from me? You want streamers when you come home? I'll fucking throw streamers. Is that what you want?
Yeah, you ordered the takeout. That's, you've done your thing.
I feel like I have. And speaking of expensive, so fucking expensive. That was $50. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to me at this point. $50 for lo mein and rice, fried rice, and crab rangoon. I think I'm having a stroke. Crab rangoon. I'll get it out. English is my first language. $50. Is that preposterous to you?
That is really expensive.
Right.
And eating, like, the Chinese takeaway, like, all food in general is pretty expensive here, but that's obscene.
Yeah. I mean, that's with DoorDash and the whole fucking, you know, after they, like, your order is like $30, but then it's like this fee, that fee, tip squared. You know, that fucking, you look at the bill, you're like, what are all these charges? What is happening? Everybody's got their fucking hands in my pocket. It drives me nuts. That's an old man rant. Like, literally right now, Cheryl will be like, okay, Grandpa, relax. Yeah. I swear to God. Just fuck you.
Food.
All right.
That's the ultimate comfort food, Chinese takeaway.
It is. When it's good. So, yeah, like it, unfortunately, we have a pretty big swing in quality of food in general in this area. Like, it could be really great or it could be just like dog shit. And you're like, roll the dice. And even at the same place, like one time you'd be like, oh, they fucking got it together. This is great. And then the next time it's like, and you order the same thing. Like, what, is Larry working tonight with no arms? He can't fucking stir fry this shit, right? Get Larry off the clock. Get Larry off the fucking grill, please. He's useless. Stinks. I want Jan. Jan on the grill. What am I talking about? I'm fucking losing my mind. All right.
Hey, let him cook. Yeah, I want to know where this is going.
Nowhere. Absolutely fucking nowhere. Trust me. Trust me on that. Nowhere. Oh, did I tell you this? I know we're not talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, but nobody gives a shit. I got bit by a spider over the weekend.
Okay.
So
the magical powers kicked up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm like swinging from fucking the poles. I got web. If I took a picture of this, would you give me medical advice of if I should go see a doctor?
No. I'm not doing this. No, that's
why not?
No, I don't want to see it. No.
I'm going to send you this picture. Can I send this picture? Can I?
I'm not a doctor.
Well, it's significant. It's a significant wound I have.
Oh, Christ.
I'm going to show it to you. Can I?
Well, how big was the spider?
I had no idea. I didn't know about it until like honestly, I didn't know about it till the next day. Where Cheryl was like, "What the fuck's on your foot?" I was like, "Oh, a mosquito," but it's like three bites in a row. Like, it's not a mosquito. It can't. I mean, if it's a mosquito, it's like a fucking elephant mosquito. All right, let me get my camera here. I need you to tell me what I should do. All right. Boom. Okay, there. All right. And now I will send this to you via the wild, wild world of web. I have to open up WhatsApp.
And I'm so scared. I do not want to see this. This is unsolicited.
All right, here you go. Boom. Tell me if that's good or bad. I'm leaning.
Yeah, not good.
Not good, right?
I thought it was some pieces of pepperoni or something.
Right?
You look like you've had cupping therapy on your foot.
It really does. That's it does itch. I will say that. It does itch. And I've lost all feeling in the right side of my body. Should I go see a doc? Yes or no? No? Ride it out, you think?
No. Yeah,
couple.
Right out. You don't know. It might. Yeah, you might get the magical powers be kicking in any minute.
Oh, I can't wait. That'd be great. I could use some magical powers. I'm not gonna lie. You know what I've been watching a lot of lately? To change gears completely, and I don't know why I do this, and I get into patterns of it, and it is preposterously just. I don't know why I do it. Maybe somebody who's smarter and has some psychological psychiatry training can chime in. I watch real-time footage of 9/11.
I can see that. See, when that will pop up on my Reddit feed, and you'll get videos of, you know, never-before-seen footage or new angles right. And stuff. There is something quite harrowing and dramatic about that. And so I'm with you on that. So, excuse me. So you just said you don't like to feel anything. You don't want to watch stuff that's going to completely numb you.
Yep.
You're sitting there watching videos of 9/11. And how are you digesting this? And you're like, whoa, that was a good one. Or are you like, oh my God, the humanity?
I am fascinated by the day because I remember it vividly. But I'm more fascinated with...
This show's going in some weird direction.
We really do. Man. We're all over the place today. I'm fascinated by the news coverage of the day. So there are people who did videos that have every network kind of leading up to the first plane. And then obviously they're cutting away and they're going to the footage of the World Trade Center. And then the second plane hits and it's live TV. And I remember all this, but I just like, and they have like radar of the planes and the timeline and all this fucking shit. And I'm like, that's it. Joe, that's how he fell asleep last night. I fell asleep last night watching
a nice soothing lullaby.
You know what I mean? Like, what kind of fucking ghoul am I? Like, I'm just like, but again, it's more of the like of the news coverage. I don't know why that fascinates me so much. I don't know why I get a fucking boner when I see the splash screen of breaking news, you know, or whatever. Okay. And now
I can one up you on this.
Okay, good.
I sometimes watch YouTube videos of national emergency broadcasts.
I know what you
fictional
mean.
Ones.
Yes, I watch them too.
This is what this is. Yes,
this is what a nuclear war.
Yes,
and it's like
such weirdos.
warning, warning.
Right. The how do you feel when you watch that?
I watch them all the time. I've watched a million of them. Not
how
a million.
Do you feel? Scared.
Yeah.
And yeah. Thrilled.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We've come full circle.
We have gone full circle.
You do like horror, but you find horror in
real life everything.
No, the same thing. We're on the same page with this one.
I watched.
There's a brilliant one with like an Australian mock-up broadcast about what it would be like if there was a zombie attack.
All right, you got to send me the link to that after. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And it's like, you know, a nuclear, you know, Los Angeles, California,
seek shelter now.
Right, right. Yeah, seek shelter now. It's like that. Yeah. Oh, let's watch one now. Let's do a real time.
That is chilling, David.
So stupid. All right. Get a hold of the fucking wheel, Joel. I'm sorry. My apologies. But yeah, I watch them too. I know exactly which ones you mean. And I watch them all the fucking time. And I don't know why. All right. How's Antonio?
That is some of the best horror I've seen, actually. I mean, it's not a horror film, but you get these little analog, these YouTube channels are like analog horror, where it's sort of independently made stuff. It's not like, you know, particularly big budgets, where they're making stuff like this, that kind of weird broadcast that you might get if you, you know, surf in the airwaves or whatever. And yeah, there's some really, really good stuff out there, like very, very short videos, but just absolutely chilling with that sort of content.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes long, you know, at the most. And it is to me, that's a horror film. Yeah, I guess I get the same thing. Yeah, I get, you know what? I guess I'm a fucking hypocrite. I'm an absolute fucking hypocrite. Cause that's weird. Like I gotta ask my fucking team of 20. What does that mean? And they're like, well, I'm going to write you a new script is what that means, sir. Here you go. Sounds like you need to be up on that medication. Yeah. Fuck. All right. Where can we go now? Where could we possibly go, Joel? Being that we've talked about the most weird things possible, where can we go now?
Right. Well, we are going to do a deep dive into the NJPW Oceania Cup from Tamashii.
Yeah.
So the third round is. No, obviously, we're not going to do that because no one's watching that.
I saw Fale. Fale's deep in this tournament.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So this is what made me laugh. So there's this show where, like, literally there's about 60 people in the building. And afterwards, Jack Bonza cut this really impassioned promo about how, you know, everyone's overlooking Australian wrestling. But then when people show up to the shows, we always send them home happy and impressed and, you know, challenge people's perceptions of what pro wrestling is. And yeah, the exact quote he said was, when they turn up here, they think it's some hokey bullshit with a bunch of out of shape dudes who aren't doing anything. And then I look at the bracket and then into the semifinals, we've got Bad Luck Fale against Jack Bonza. And he said that with a straight face, without a shred of irony.
Gosh, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. Oh, this is the Voices of Wrestling. right. The curb music we need immediately. This is the old clutching the old right around the collar. Yeah. All right. I did see that. I did see, I saw the brackets on that Medium website. And yeah, I thought that was pretty wild that he's that far. He was probably accurate right up into nobody cares about Australia and left it at that, and he'd still be accurate. I'm kidding. I love Australia. Please.
Yeah, he should have just edited it there. So a bunch of out of shape dudes who aren't doing anything. So thanks for coming. See you next time.
Right. Joel, you're on Instagram. I guess everybody can get a hold of you from Australia, right? For those rude comments.
Yes.
Right. You can find
me. I speak my truth. I make no apologies.
There you are.
I'm going to get angry DMs from the Jack Bonza defense squad.
Yeah. All right. Listen, word them off. Listen, we don't do anything on Twitter. Although I did see that you did, after we mentioned that there's no promotion of the show, you did put up a little new pod post. I saw that.
Yeah, I did. I'm good, aren't I?
Yeah. Yep.
I felt bad. I was like, oh, I should probably at least retweet the podcast that we record.
Nobody listens to this. Come on, please. All right. Where would you like to go? Where would you? What would you like to talk about when it comes to the New Japan? Right.
So in my news, I have three bullet points here. One says that, so one of those Memories of G1 Climax videos dropped. Oh. They've got English subtitles now. That's on YouTube. Really good. I mean, it's about like 40, 50 minutes long. And you know how they do it, like through each step of the tour. And the most fascinating bits are the interviews with the fans, because I just like to see what sort of fans are cheering for the different wrestlers. And there was one woman who was like, oh, my favorite's Tori Yano. He's the strongest. I'm like, are you not really following the product that closely, are you? But I like seeing all the people who've got the families there turning up with their kids and everything. That's always fun to see the kids all dressed up and who their favorites are. So that's a really fun watch. I'd recommend everyone checks that out. And other news, we got Tenzan is injured. Ren's injured, apparently. I don't know. There's not really much detail on that, but he seems to be out at the moment. And the last bullet point I've got on news just says, shut up, Yuya. So can't remember what that is, but yeah, he should shut up and stop saying things.
What was he yapping his mouth about? What was he chirping about? Do you have any idea?
I think he was defending a sex offender.
What? Or
did we not want to see that? Yeah.
What's happening? What happened?
So you may be aware that there was, I think it was a Dragon Gate wrestler who was called Yano. What's his first name? Oh, I'm trying to Yasutaka Yano. So this is Noah Young Boy, not Dragon Gate. So it's Noah Young Boy who was fired for being arrested for sexual misconduct.
Okay.
And there's an article here with Yuya expressing sympathy for him.
No. Okay.
Shut up. Shut up.
Tug the collar. Come on. Yeah.
Just shut up. Everyone just shut up.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that. Because I don't know the story. The injuries, Tenzan. I heard it was a leg, ankle. Am I right? I think it's ankle. Weren't ankles a problem before with the big guy? I think so.
Yes.
I feel bad in the sense of these guys were on top of the world at one time, and these guys gave it all and sacrificed limbs for the love of the art of pro wrestling. And now I've said it before, and it's like a line I lean on a little bit now, but it's like now the credit cards are due.
I just like the bit of the article that says, we apologize to fans who are looking forward to seeing Tenzan wrestle.
I did get a chuckle. No one buying a ticket.
Come on. Chris typing that with a straight face.
You know what, though? You never know. There might be someone who's just like, you know what?
We apologize to fan who was looking forward to seeing
right.
Tenzan
wrestle. Right. I mean, look, not for nothing. I spent a lot of money on bands that, you know, haven't been necessarily relevant in many moons. So maybe there's somebody that's like, I got to go see fucking Tenzan for the last time. I might not ever see him again. Pay my hard earned money and go see, maybe, who knows. But yeah, I mean, his fucking feet were, you know.
He looks like a hollow husk of his former self. He's looking really, not skinny, but, you know, he was old. Big sort of beefy barrel chested guy, but yeah, he's just.
Yeah, that's what age will do to you. It'll take a guy who was known as a fucking bull and turn you into mush. Yeah. Look, it's pro wrestling. For me to sit here and be like, look, you know, you're a little up in age. You might want to just kind of stay out of the ring. But I know that's going to fall on deaf ears. That's, and who's going to listen to me anyway? But that's one of the things about pro wrestling, man.
I feel so sorry for you having to offer analysis on Tenzan getting injured.
Who knew?
Having to have a take on that.
Right.
That absolute nothing.
I know, but I think in general in pro wrestling, I would love to see less of, you know, older person feeling like they can still go in the ring as opposed to just, let's just stay out of the ring. And here's the thing, too. I will say. Notice how my boy, you never see that. You never see Jushin. He hasn't been in a ring at all, I don't think. On a show wise. You know, he could very easily take a plane ride over here in the States, wrestle, you know, get a big paycheck and fucking, you know, do the hits, so to speak, here in the States, and people would pay. But you know, he hasn't done it. He's done some meet and greets. I was going to go to that one, in October, I want to say. I could be wrong.
Yeah, was it like you could pay to have dinner with him or something? I thought you'd be all over that.
Listen, money's too tight to mention right now. And here's the thing, too. Like, I don't know. To me, that might be a little weird. I don't know. And I'll tell you this flat out. You know what's weird is that I would have to sit with other people and have that dinner. Right. If it were just me and him, I'd be totally down for that. And I would pay the money. I just don't want to sit with other people at that same thing and listen to, what was it like the first time you put on your mask? Like, shut up. Stupid. Eat your fucking Brazilian steak and shut up. What was it like wrestling Tyler? What was his name? Tyler Swift. No, what was his name?
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. Tyler. What was it like being on NXT? Ugh. Drop dead. That would be the worst part.
You should go and ask him all those questions.
I will. I will. In that voice. All right. So that's it. New Japan talk. I mean, look, the problem.
I'm just scrolling through analog horror videos on YouTube now because there was one that I really enjoyed, but I can't remember what it's called now. But I'm going to find it before this podcast is up. All right, we will move on to talking. I'm afraid we've got to do it. What was it called? Battle Line Hokkaido. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is I can't believe I do this. Noboru Betsu City General Gymnasium, 1,255 people in attendance. So we started off with Kazushi Sakuraba and Toriano defeating Daiki Nagai and Masatori Yasuda in 7 minutes, 24 seconds. That's Sakuraba, you know, that's noteworthy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice for those young lions, Nagai and Yasuda, getting to wrestle Sakuraba. The most notable thing from this was Daiki Nagai talking backstage about how Kobayashi made him a mistake and encouraged him after he got injured. So he was in the class with Kata and Murashima. I think they were supposed to debut around the same time, but then he got an injury. And he had some very heartfelt, kind words about Kobayashi and how he, you know, made a difference to him when he was having a low moment. And that's always nice. I always like to have those little sort of behind the scenes tidbits about the interpersonal relationships between, you know, just a little moment that you never would have known about otherwise between two guys and how much it meant.
Yeah. I didn't know. I assumed that he was older, and you might have even rattled off his age and it kind of went over my fucking head. Like, he wasn't that old. It wasn't like he was like 84, you know? I was just like, oh, that's kind of not that old in passing away. I think everybody was happy to see Sakuraba, not for nothing. I mean, I can't even remember the fucking last time I've seen him in a ring. New Japan ring. Like, when was the last time? It had to be years, right? I can't remember the last
time. Yeah, was it like the sort of Suzuki matches was he doing?
Yeah, yeah. So that was almost like a health check, you know, just seeing him being like, oh, okay. You know, you mentioned Tenzan looking a little, you know, father time catching up, you know, Sakuraba too. I was like, ooh, okay.
He wrestled Santino Marella at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport Bushido in June.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he's done quite a lot of Noah matches.
Okay.
But the last time it was a pure New Japan appearance was 2016.
Wow.
Kizuna Road, when he was teaming with Chaos.
Wow. That long ago. Fuck. Wow. I'm actually kind of surprised by that. Huh. That long.
Yeah, team with Gedo, team with Okada, Yoshihashi.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. I mean, I didn't know it was that long. Didn't feel like it was that long, but I guess so. And again, I mean, I'm not really dialed in on Noah scene, so yeah. Wow, that's crazy. That number, I don't know why that number bothers me so much. That's crazy. All right. 2016. There you go. All right. I mean, it was a match. Great. It was fine. I just think it's funny that we got double duty Yano. I just find that to be craziness incorporated. But okay, let's go on to match two.
We had the Nomorebetsu Rambo match. So in order, we had Murashima, Kato, Yuma 24, who a lot of people thought was like Kenta doing a bit, but it wasn't. This is a different person who just looks like a Kenta who's completely let himself go. Sorry, Yuma 24. Honma, Tiger Mask, Fujita, Jado, Taguchi, Akira, Taka, Tomoya, Tenzan, Izuku came out. So we've got some fun moments with that where, you know, he was resuming his beef with Tenzan. And who's the announcer guy that he always goes after?
Oh, was it? Fuck. I'm going to say Nagomi, but
Nogami? I think it's Nogami.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's see. If I do a Google search for Izuka and Nogami, will it come up? But yeah, he likes to, you know, rip his... Yeah, Shinpei Nogami, yes.
There you go. Right.
So ripping his shirt off. You know, that was a nice little throwback. And Taichi coming out trying to wrangle him, which, yeah, no, that, I had a little chuckle at that. Kanemaru came out and was very, very entertained by the backstage comments. So Kanemaru, obviously, he's going to be challenging Doki for the junior title. And Kanemaru says, the more Doki holds the junior title, the lower its prestige drops.
Oh,
when I take it, I'll drag it down to rock bottom. So, this scumbag. And then Taguchi comes out afterwards and goes, oh, it's just heard what Kanemaru was saying. If I won that belt, I bet I could make it even less valuable than he can. I'll take that title into the negative. So please don't let me challenge for it.
Bravo. I'm spitting the truth here. Funny, I love it. Good for that.
We had a show came out, the Doki, Sanada, Shota Umino, no pop for Shota, Zack Sabre Jr. So Shota was the winner here, and he's chatting about how he would like to wrestle Zack at some point. So the Bebler says, now that Shota Umino has won the prestigious Nomorebetsu Rambo and the highly coveted Hot Spring ticket, is it safe to call his run an unqualified success? And is it time for him to move on to bigger and better things, in brackets, AEW Rampage?
Ooh, wow. Throwing the smoke there. I mean, look. It's these kind of shows.
I was just going to ask, like, when do you think we slide? Oh, like, obviously there is designs there for a Shota versus Zack match at some point. But I'm just thinking where and when and for what? Because, like, surely that's not Tokyo Dome.
No. Oh, God, no. No. I mean, you would think they would try to do it something somewhat relatively soon. So when I say relatively soon, I mean before Dome. Where? I don't fucking know. I mean, I hate to say it, but like, why does that match do nothing for me? Like, if you put Zach in the ring with any of the other young guys, I think I would be much more excited than this.
Well, the show's just dead. He's ice cold.
Yeah, but I mean, he is.
Mediocre G1. And
but even if you heat him up.
Absolutely no buzz about him.
I don't know. I for whatever reason, I don't think they're a good match. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't see the chemistry. I don't know. And you're right. It might just be just because he is ice cold, but. Yeah, I don't know. Why am I concerned with all the ancillary stuff that Zach is doing? Why does that feel like they're trying to get us off the scent? and they're not going to do anything with them. Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you feel like enough is enough? Like, I just want a little bit more focus. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm more like, I just can't wait for fucking October, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say here. Like, I just feel like there's so much stuff that he's involved in that's not giving me the title that I'm getting a little concerned. Are you feeling the same way?
Yeah, so it's weird, isn't it, that the whole issue with the G1 winner calling their shot for Wrestle Kingdom was that you had like months and months of filler that they had to give them something to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, him calling a shot early, we've got like the exact same problem.
Right.
Sonata wants a bit, and then Shota wants a bit, and like, he's only got to wait till fucking October to wrestle Naito. Can we just let him do that first? But they're right. Just like cramming all this other stuff in, and Naito's got to defend it against Okan first, and then, you know, there's AEW people calling him out, and this guy and that guy. It's muddying the waters, isn't it?
It does feel that way. And I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if that's, again, to get people off the scent, but there is something that was pretty, I don't know, that G1 winner, like, and you felt comfortable and confident that G1 winner was going to the Dome. I mean, again, I know we had recent years where people just show up and like, well, let me be in the match too. And, you know, but we all complained about it. And we all fucking didn't want that. We all hand waved that. And in a weird way, maybe it's just me being impatient and I can't wait until fucking October, and I cannot wait for this match. I cannot wait to have this shit go down, and I can't wait for Royal Quest, and I can't, you know, like I'm fucking ready to go. And when I see all these other diversions in the way and these things, I don't know. Like, I think either A, again, they're just trying to keep us off the fucking scent. And they're doing it to do that, or are they trying to fucking say, well, he's got all these other things just waiting in the wings? I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I did get that feeling, like my confidence level in a Zach win has gone down a little bit, not a lot, not complete. I'm pushing a panic button, but there is a little bit of it in there. And I kind of long for, okay, we're just going to tread water to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know. I just have to wait a couple weeks. You know, it's like there is a little bit of relax, dude. But there is a part of me that's like, okay, why are we doing all this stuff? Let's focus. Let's get straight ahead here. And it did have me a little bit concerned.
I found it, by the way, the Analog Horror.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about. So the YouTube channel is called Local 58 TV, and this video is called Contingency. Now, the whole Local 58 TV catalog of videos, there's not that many, but they're all really, really good. But Contingency is just absolutely terrifying for me, anyway. So yeah.
That's the zombie
one. Do check that. It's only 3 minutes long, and it's very scary.
Yeah. 3 minutes of, yeah. Oh, I
think you'll like it.
I will like it. Just do me a favor. Just send it to me because I'll forget. But I'll watch it tonight.
Yes.
It'll be like a lullaby for me. I'll get wrapped up in some swaddling clothes and just hear some national broadcast alerts. It'd be great. All right. Very good.
Okay. So then, I'm just going to send that to you. We had some more wrestling matches on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Which consisted of six men going into action. Mm-hmm. Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Yoshihashi defeating the Bullet Club team, War Dogs, David Finlay, Gabe Kidd, and Gedo. So Jake Lee was supposed to be involved, but he's got an injured foot. So this was the War Dogs getting revenge for that. And the upshot of this being Gabe Kidd challenging Goto to a singles match in the Destruction Show at Kobe.
I mean, I don't think anybody's complaining about that. I mean, Hiroki Goto has got a new lease on life, and Gabe Kidd is, you know, trying to keep the momentum going. I'm happy with that. I'm good with that. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Really good chemistry.
They do.
Very good. Nice stylistic matchup there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could be really good. Like if people are overlooking that, they're mistaken. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking at a Yoshihashi David Finlay matchup, correct?
Yeah, so that's the semi-main event for the Destruction and Kobe show, and we will preview that fully next week. But there's a really outstanding video, I think it's on the New Japan YouTube as well, with Yoshihashi talking about his, you know, the infamous time that he slipped up. Was it late 2019, I want to say, when he smashed his shoulder and his head into the ring when he's supposed to be, who was he saving, like Tanahashi or Okada or someone? I can't remember who it was. And it was so inspiring, this video, the way he was talking about it. And, you know, Yoshihashi is a guy who can't really, you know, there's no guile to him. He can't project a persona or basically do anything inauthentic. When he's speaking, it's like straight from the heart. It's a straight shot with him. So he was talking about how he was just fucking miserable after that happened, basically. And he thought he more or less like ruined his career by bollocksing up what, you know, should have been one of his biggest moments. But it was really great hearing him talking about all the people that supported him. Like, he's talking about, like, Ishii brought him some fruit, and then Goto, I can't remember, like, took him out for a steak or something, and said to him something along the lines of, like, you're a made man now, because if you can recover from this, then that's it. You've got it sorted. Like, you're going to be a new man. So the way he has reflected on that, and really, I mean, you can pinpoint, that's the moment where it kickstarted a huge change in direction from him, because, you know, when he came back, just during the pandemic with that sort of never six-man run, or even maybe even before then, you could definitely notice something different about him. Mm. And I don't want to sort of ruin all the best lines, but there's some just really great sentences in that. Sentences? Who says that? Who talks like this? There's some really great lines in the video where he's able to now put that into context and reflect on that moment and what it meant for him. So I think that's an absolute must-watch for one of the most inspiring members of the, unlikely, but inspiring members of the roster. I don't know if you watched the video, Dan.
I have not, but now you sold it, dude. I'm ready to fucking fire up that thing and run through a wall for Yoshihashi. You're right, though. Like, one thing that I feel pretty strongly about, and I could be dead wrong, but and I feel strongly about a lot of the things that are dumb. Do you think the empty arenas and the clap crowds was something that he needed in the sense of, like, there's a big difference between, when we've talked about it for many, many shows, big difference between wrestling in front of an empty building and wrestling in front of a full building, right? Where the art of pro wrestling of, you know, getting crowd reactions and getting in the crowd into you and having them ride that emotional roller coaster. But I feel like those clap crowds and those empty arenas and all that was kind of like a hard reset button for him, where he kind of just kind of fell back into the basics, because there was no need to make a crowd connection. And, you know, and that was like one of the biggest things, like, when we would bust his balls, it would be, you know, he has no crowd connection and he has no personality and he's the again, the bag of socks, right? Steady hand, but nobody gets excited seeing it under the fucking Christmas tree. And then that was like the beginning of the change, where he kind of built on, he just kind of, it's like a fucking golfer who loses his swing and he fucking just shanks everything. And he just needed to go into a fucking basement and find the joy of it. Maybe that's it, or just the basics of it, and then build off of that. I look, not to get heartfelt and get, you know, but there are human beings behind these, you know, like, I'm sure they have feelings and they know when they fuck up and they know when they don't do well and they know when things aren't fucking hitting on, you know, and they got two dopes on a podcast saying, fucking he stinks. You know what I mean? It doesn't help, but, you know, whatever. Why do I feel bad about doing a podcast now over Yoshihashi? Fuck it. Did they show the girl crying again?
No, they didn't. Oh, I'd love to hear from her again. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah. I want to know how she's doing.
I take your point. I think a lot of people had to sort of recalibrate and redefine themselves and have a think about who they are and what they want to get out of their wrestling career and their New Japan career. Yeah. And it just proved to be a real turning point for a lot of people, where some, it ended up breaking their relationship with the company and they have moved on to other things, and others who were almost sort of inspired by the challenge and made the lemonade, the proverbial lemonade out of lemons. And, you know, you look no further than the guy like Zack Sabre Jr. or Gabe Kidd, where...
Or Doki.
Yeah, Gabe Kidd, the guy who... It's a similar story to Yoshihashi, isn't it? Where he, having his lowest ebb and staring his absolute horrific moments in the face, but coming out the other side and really providing quite a heartwarming story at the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's... And maybe they get an unfair pass from us, maybe, for that. But for me, like I want to get behind those type of people. Like I want to support those type of people. I want to be there when they on that journey with them. And look, it's a hard business to be in, period. And then you add those elements on top of it, and then I don't know. I always like Yoshihashi. Will forever be like, and I hate to say this in the sense of, well, where were you when he was fucking nope? You know, where were you? Where you when he was, you know, struggling? I mean, trust me, I you know, if anybody's to blame,
it's in front of a microphone calling him a bag of sex. Right,
exactly. I'm kicking him. I'm Bobby Heenan stomping him while he's down. Yeah, I mean, I get that. That's,
maybe he heard that. That could be what inspired him.
You know what? Maybe. You know what? I'm gonna believe that we were a spark in him.
Right. I want someone to try to explain to Yoshihashi in Japanese about the bag of socks idiom.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, get on that. That'd be great. That'd be something. But it's true, though. It's not like we're just picking on a guy to pick on a guy. I mean, these are all true things and true statements. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. But I'm glad to see him come out the other side. I definitely want to see that. Is it long? Is it 20 minutes? The video?
No. I sent it to one of our WhatsApp groups. It's I can tell you exactly how long. 9 minutes and 48 good. Seconds.
All right. That's not scary, is it? I'm not gonna... All right, very good.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the Wyoming incident. I've got the wrong video here.
Oh, no. is that nuclear? Right, is that nuclear?
Oh, you don't know the Wyoming incident? Oh, you'll like that.
Okay, send me that. That's a
good one. Yeah. You've got lovely treats to look forward
to. Oh, it's going to be a great night.
I think this was a real thing. No, I'm going to have to look that up.
Was the Wyoming incident? Real, or was it just...
Yes.
What is it?
It is. Oh no! No, it's not real.
All right.
Yeah, is it? I don't know.
I've never heard of it. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I've never heard of it though.
All right. Okay, that's probably not real. You know the Max Headroom incident?
Max Headroom incident where the people hacked into the network?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I think it's basically based on that. I don't think it is real. I think it's just on that genre of. Sort of rogue broadcast that's hacked into local TV network.
That whole Max Headroom thing, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. It's just some fucking dude in his basement. He hacked into the radio frequencies of a TV broadcast, and like he was wearing that dumb mask and doing all kinds of fucking goofy things. But like he parlayed that into fucking he parlayed a fucking federal crime into. Well, we'll make a TV show out of it. And like he was like a spokesperson for like Pepsi and shit.
Really?
Yeah. Max Headroom was a fucking big deal. And it was based off of that. Like, I don't know if it's the same person who...
Was it? I thought, wasn't Max Headroom a thing before that? And he just, this guy happened to be wearing a Max Headroom mask. Or
no.
Because of that, it made Max Headroom more popular.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around. He... Yeah. So he did that whole bit and broke into the signal, and that is what inspired him. I that's my understanding of it. You might have the Wikipedia of that, but yeah, like he hacked in, and then, like, again, I don't know if it was like he, the guy who did all the hacking, and in the original video is the guy who made money off of it. Or maybe it was, hey, we saw this video, this would be a great concept to do a thing. I don't know. But yeah, it's my understanding that's how that came about.
Do you find that scary, the Max Headroom?
A little bit.
A bit creepy.
Yeah. Can you imagine just watching TV and being like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, that sort of feeling, that sense of, you're not supposed to be watching this, and this could go in any direction.
No? Yep, that's scary to me. I don't know why. That's a little frightening to me. Like, do you know the story of the guy who broke into a radio station? Yeah. And he wanted like certain music to be played live on the air. Yeah, this guy fucking and held the DJ hostage. Yeah, I forget. I want to say LA. I think there was a movie that wound up being made about that. Who was that 80s actor who was really like, he was red hot for a while? Oh, what the fuck was the name of that movie? And I could see the poster, but I can't think of it. But there was a movie made about it. Fuck me, I forget. My memory sucks. I hate it. It's so frustrating. But yeah, that movie. That's that. I wanted to say one more thing and I forget what it was. There's another memory thing. That's why I feel like I go all over the place, because I forget what I'm going to say. Because if I let it percolate, I'm fucking, I lose it. God damn it. All right, whatever. Yeah, continue on.
This makes for good audio.
Yeah,
we're going to so many different tangents today.
Yeah, I know.
I'm all over the place as well. And I've got so many tabs open now. I can't wait to stop recording so I can go watch all this stuff.
All right, well, come on. Hurry up.
Myself before bedtime.
Let's go.
All right. We had 10-man tag match with United Empire, Callum Newman, Great Khan, Hinari, Jacob Austin Young, and Jeff Cobb defeating LIJ, Bushi, Hiromu, Shingo, Naito, Yotsusugi. I suppose the biggest takeaway from this, and something we forgot to mention last week, actually, is the Shingo and Henare rematch. Yeah. So Will Pro Wrestling says, do you think it's too soon for Shingo to go after Henare's title after their last match happening in June? I feel it's lazy to go back to that instead of having Henare have a new fresh challenger. Mm. And yes, basically, I agree.
Yeah. Is this like match 4 already between these two? I think it's match 4, right? That's crazy.
More than that.
Maybe even be more. I think this is like match 4. Look it up.
Okay, let's have a look. Right. Opening cage match. Joel, search things on cage match. So we have...
Tab 36.
They're already 4, so this will be their 5th
Wow.
Match.
Okay. To answer the question, yes. But I'll put a little parenthesis. They do have good matches together, and Shingo's more than willing to fucking do the dumb shit that Hinari's down for. And they've had various degrees of great, some better than others. To answer the question, yes, but I'm okay with it because I think they have good chemistry and the match will be good. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I don't hate the match.
Right.
It feels like diminishing go returns.
Correct.
But, it feels like lazy booking.
Yeah. Yeah. I, again, full agreement, and you are right. Like, there could possibly be diminishing returns. I'm willing to roll the dice with it. Lazy, yes. Will it be good still? Probably.
Main event was never openweight 6-man tag team title match. Tanahashi, Oleg, and Yano defeating House of Torture, Dick Togo, Evil, and Yujiro. So you remember last week when I said this could sort of low-key be one of the matches of the year, mm-hmm. where they could just completely lean in on it and it could just be absolute shenanigans and hilarity and just go balls to the wall nonsense and it ends up being great.
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
didn't quite happen that way. I don't know if I'm liking this rain, to be quite frank. I would call this rain.
I think we've got to put it into context for this match, right? Because this feels like it was the Yano a bone show. Like, he's out of G1, not seen him for a while. And here, have two Yano matches and Yano winning in the main event and Yano closing the show in the town where he's the ambassador. So sure, it was a love letter to Toru Yano. So I'm willing to accept that in context, but you are right to be having wider concerns about the use of this title, which seems a bit churlish to say, given historically what it's been.
Yeah. I can't think of a title, or let me phrase it this way. If you can come up with a title that has been such a roller coaster ride, name it. Like we've had some really great stuff when it comes to the Never Six Man. We really have. We've also had the bottom of the barrel dregs of, worse, just complete indifference. Right? You're just like, why am I watching this match? And I think we've had so many peaks, like high highs and low lows with this title, that sky low lows, that it's like, I don't know. I feel like there are times when, and you could say this for a lot of the titles, very true, but I just feel like there's, like, they don't know what the fuck they want to do sometimes. And this is living proof of, I don't know what to do with this. You know, like, there's absolutely no reason why these three should be a team, let alone hold this title. And
I just found the most amazing thing, David. You know those Sporkle quizzes?
The what quizzes?
Sporkle, where it will ask you to, like, you know, name every player who's worn the number 10 for Arsenal in the Premier League era. And you get, like, a time limit to name as many of things within that category.
I mean, I've heard of them. This is what guys do at a bar, by the way, right? We have lists of name every Flyers from the 80s. Go. Oh, you just go around the room. You know, yes. This is,
well, anyway, I found one with the entire history of the Never Openweight Six Man Tag Team Championship.
Wow.
Where there's 159 points available within 10 minutes. And I think we should both do that as our homework before next week.
Fuck yes. Wow. Don't forget about, I don't know if they were, though. Were War Machine and Michael Elgin Never Six-Man Tag Team Champions?
Oh, God. I don't know.
That's the depths that we're going.
That's plausible.
Right. Like the Briscoes and Yano, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. Were they the inaugural champs? Yeah, they might have been.
Yep. But
so, yeah, the titles being back on Yano, I mean, that's nature healing, isn't it?
You know what? I guess you're right. I guess you are right. Yeah, there's been some crazy ones. There's been ones where you're just like, what? Yeah. All right, I'll send me the link to that. What a night I'm going to have. Jeez. Wow.
Oh, my God. These tabs are getting out of control. Yeah. I love it.
There you go.
I'm so excited.
All right.
Okay. Hold on a second. I can send this to you again before I forget. And, yeah, we'll see who gets the high score.
Love it.
Next week.
All right.
Maybe I'll share that on Twitter and listeners can have a go at it as well.
And I'll do, yeah, share it on Twitter. And
get in the mud with us.
And I want screenshots. I don't, you know what I mean? No cheating,
yes.
But I want screenshots. I want honesty. Honesty is the best policy. I don't know if you know that. I want to see how you people do. You fucking maniacs. That's a nice word, right? We can say that on a podcast. Maniac. That's good. I want to see what you maniacs do.
Right. Will Pro Wrestling has another question. Says, do you think instead of a Never Six Man Gauntlet or Rumble, we can get a six-man tag title match on the main card of the Dome? It's not like the company can't book the titles, right? They just seem to only do it if top guys are holding it.
I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened before, right? It's not going to be like...
Yeah, I'm struggling to think of any like Wrestle Kingdom matches where it was just defended, like the champions defending it against another trios team.
Yeah, because usually they do that.
I think in the recent years, they've not done it at all. I remember sort of circa 2017, 2018, they had the gauntlet match.
Yeah.
But they just seem to have abandoned that, which is a shame because I quite like that match. I think I was the only person who did, but
it was fine. Okay. They usually save those for Dash, don't they? Or like the show before that post Christmas show. Or you know, one of those quirkins during that week. I mean, they could. Look, again, they can do anything. They could heat up anything.
I like looking at the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card, which, you know, people look back on Wrestle Kingdom 11 as one of, and rightly, one of the greatest ever wrestling shows of all time. And that had a never six man open weight gauntlet match in it. And if you look at the teams that were in that match now, it's very entertaining to sort of think what's happened to those guys since. So we had LIJ team with Bushi, Evil, and Sanada.
Okay.
Taguchi Japan team, David Finlay, Ricochet, and Satoshi Kojima.
Wow.
Bullet Club team of Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro.
Okay.
And Chaos team of Jado, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay.
Wow, wee. Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Well, listen, that six-man title is a launching pad. It's a launching it's the beginning of good things. Wow, yeah. Those fucking teams. That Ricochet team is hilarious. Let's get that back. Let's get that back January 5th. Let's go.
All right, so that was that show. We also have an announced card for Destruction in Kobe. Mm-hmm. So that'll be September 29th. And again, we'll do full preview of it next week, but I'll just run down the card for you. Opening match, we've got Tiger Mask, Tomoaki Honma, and Yuji Nagata against Dragon Dia. Was it Dragon Dia? I can't remember how to pronounce it now. Ryusuke Taguchi and Shota Umino. So I'm assuming that's a, you know, Kobe thing. It's Dragon Gate territory, so he's coming back. Match two, we've got Bushi, Hiromu, and Yota Tsuji against Francesco Akira, Callum Newman, and Jeff Cobb. Special singles match, Hiroki Goto against Gabe Kidd. Then fourth match, we've got Taka Michinoku, Taichi, and Sanada against Zack Sabre Jr., Kosei Fujita, and X. So we've got the new person for TMDK. And I will transition that into a question. Another one from Will Pro Wrestling. He says, which route would you go for? A, Oiwa returns after the Wrestle Kingdom 19 main event, challenging the winner at the Tokyo Dome. B, he comes back in a boring way, like in a multi-man tag, and is put in a current faction. Like, that's a trick question. Like, would you rather the cool, exciting thing or the boring thing that is actually going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. I would prefer the first thing to happen. And again, I've spoken about this at length before, how the trajectory of 2012 Kazuchika Okada has poisoned my brain into thinking that every returning young lion should be doing that. And if they don't do that, then they're dropping the ball. But yeah, I'm just expecting this to be Oiwa joining TMDK and a bit of grumbling about how it's underwhelming.
Yeah, it'll be fine. You know what I mean? It'll be fine. And yeah, of course. Would you rather have a Porsche or a reliable car? You know, right? I get it. But yeah, I think we're all expecting them in Kobe.
Yeah. Then the fifth match is the never open weight six man tag match. So we got Oleg Boltin, Toriyano, Hiroshi Tanahashi defending against the new House of Torture challenger team of Sho, Yujiro, and Evil. Sixth match, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match, Doki defending against Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Seventh match, Never Open Weight Championship match, Shingo Takagi challenging the champion Henare. Eighth match, IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match, David Finlay defending against Yoshihashi. And the main event, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Tetsuya Naito defending against Great Okan. So, big picture thoughts on that card. What do you think of it?
A lot of guys that we always want more from, right? A lot of guys that we're always pining for big things. Well, like you go down that second half of the card, it's like, okay, here's another opportunity for you. Nobody expects Okan to win, but he could have a great showing, right? I just don't know if that's going to happen with these two. Like, that match actually worries me a little bit. It worries me a little bit. Because the problem is that, you have Okan, who, you know, I don't think anybody really trusts, and Naito, who's okay. I mean, he's got a fucking resume that's a mile long, but how is he feeling now? I don't know. I have concerns. I do have concerns on that match. Yoshihashi and David Finlay, that has potential to be really fucking good. Let's not kid ourselves here. That does have potential. I know. Once again, the hardest thing is to get the fucking perceptions out of people's heads. I get it. That has the potential to,
because you know that's going to be the match that is going to be the stick used to beat for the fans who just not watched New Japan over the last 4 years. They'll be like, oh, look at this. Right. David Finlay gets Yoshihashi.
Right. I mean, look, that whole second half of the show is that. Right. I mean, it's all the people that people are, they're stuck in 2016 and 2017. Like, yes. But now, imagine if it turns out to be great. Like the best case scenario would be they just fucking blow the roof off the place and they have great, you know, they have a great show with all those guys on top. It's at that. I don't, why am I so excited for this? Like, because, I guess it's because, like, I there is a big part of me that wants them to rub it in those people's faces. Is that like childish to think? Like, is there a lot of emotional intelligence in that statement? Probably not. But I want to rub some fucking noses in the dog shit. Like, I kind of want to do it and be like, this is what you're missing out on, dopes. Why am I not confident that that's going to happen, though? I'm worried about mid. I'm worried about, man, it was all right. I really feel like you need this to be really knock your fucking socks off great. And I don't know if we have it. Like, the possibilities are there, but I feel like I'm doing a very risky bet. If it hits, we're dancing in the streets, dude. We're going to the fucking pub. We're going to the strip clubs. We're buying an 8-ball. We're doing it all, right? If it doesn't hit, we're not going to pay our mortgage, right?
It's a real feast or famine hours.
It does feel like that. Like, this show is very much that, don't you think? There's a lot of people on that.
I don't know. It does just feel like filler on the road to Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay. All right. But what if we're right? And it turns out to be great. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just got my head in the clouds a little bit. But, like, I would just love that to happen. I would love that to be great. Will it happen? Again, it feels a little bit like a long shot. But come on, boys. Put it together. It'd be great. It's not that hard. Right? No?
All right. Well, I've got a few questions here, so I'll read questions until you get bored or tired or hungry. All right.
All right. Wrap up the show. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Peps Waterburner says, do we think Okada and Danielson wrestle on January 4th and January 5th or just the January 5th show? I think if you get those big names, then they will be in tag matches on January 4th.
I know I talked about it a million times, but I mean, I feel like the value would be like a special singles match. And truth be told, I don't necessarily want to have those two together. I kind of want that to be separate. So we're a little disagreement on that, but,
no, I don't think he was suggesting that they wrestle each other, but if you have those two names to in special singles matches for January 5th against other guys, do you use them on January 4th as well?
Right. I mean, yes, you do. But again, I feel like Okada's return to the Dome should not be in a fucking. And I know he doesn't wrestle. He's not New Japan talent. I understand that now, and I do understand that there's probably more long-term benefit to have him not be in such a spotlight, but how can you not, how can you bring the guy in and just stick him in a tag? I don't know. I just think there's too much value. Like I would be more interested in popping a house than having him, and as opposed to protecting our guys. That doesn't necessarily mean that he has to go over. The likelihood is probably high that he does, but I don't know. I'm more interested in give me a great match that pops the house.
Yeah, I think you do that on January 5th, but I don't think you do singles matches with him on both nights.
I say singles on both, but you're I'm logically I'm in your camp. Trust me.
Methodm95 says, "How about a video game music podcast covering Crash Bandicoot 2? Never played it, fortunately.
Really?
So I'll have to. I don't know if there is a music on that particularly good. I don't know.
I've played it. Yes, I played Crash Bandicoot. It's a racing game, right? That's what we're talking about. It's like Mario Kart, but it's Crash. Yeah. Yeah, I like that music. I can't do it. But yeah. You know what I mean? But I hear it in my head, but I can't get it out. I'm down with that. Let's do it. Let's do that.
My name is not Robert says, will we ever get a Yujiro and Naito reunion? I mean, maybe that is how we close Wrestle Kingdom. Yujiro challenging Naito and then them hugging it out at the end, just like Wembley Stadium last year with AEW.
Yeah.
Confetti.
It's what the people want.
No Limit, finally reunited.
It's what the people want, Robert. Sorry I called you Robert, but Robert, that's what the people want. Give them what they want.
Louis says, question for gaming. Joel, if you get a PS5, will you play that new game, Black Myth Wukong? Yeah, probably. It sounds good. I think that's another sort of Souls-like game. But the way my finances are looking, that's going to be a long time unless someone wants to buy a PS5 for me. Multiverse A says, David, what's your favorite Oasis song and least favorite Oasis song?
All right.
And what song do you think is underrated?
Good one. I think their best is... I love Stand By Me. I love...
Is that because we sung that together in New York?
Every time I hear it, it reminds me of it. I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
It does. It does. It takes me back to that fucking karaoke room in New York City. So I do love Stand By Me. I can never pronounce the name. Acquiesce, is it? I think that's a great song, too. B-side. Slide Away. No. Slide Away is great, but I want to say Fade Away. Fade Away, yeah. I like that, too. Little by Little I like, too, a lot, too. Our worst one is maybe Bonehead's Holiday. Need a little friend from the friend from the holiday. That's all right. So I'll go that route. That's where I'll leave it. I'm not a big fan of I could do without Wonderwall, to be honest with you. that might be just because.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement. I think that one's overrated.
I do. I think Live Forever is great.
Well, how do you feel about Don't Look Back in Anger?
Not bad. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, also a bit overrated for me.
Yeah, I mean, but again, these are the hits, right? These are the songs that you'll hear everywhere. But
yeah, maybe it's just overplayed.
Yeah.
I really like Fucking in the Bushes.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Stand By Me, I love. Live Forever, I love. Some Might Say, I love. I can't wait. I'm not gonna lie, I can't wait.
They also asked, Joel, does Arsenal have a chance to win the league
this year?
Well, I would have said yes until fucking Martin Odegaard did his ligaments whilst playing some bullshit international match. But I shouldn't complain about that, because that's what happens to big teams. You get players that are injured and you have to have a squad to cover for it. So hopefully this will be the launching pad for our, I think he's only 17 years old, our 17-year-old prodigy, Ethan Nwaneri, to step up and take that spot and lead us to glory.
Relegation. So
we've got a big game at the weekend against we're playing away to Man City next weekend. So
yeah,
I think that to me is a don't lose match. Like, I'm okay with Arteta going full like haram ball and boring the tits off of all the neutral watchers and grinding out a 0-0. I take that. That's my small mentality now. But yeah, that's a don't lose match for me. And then, you know, you never know what can happen.
They were hyping that up on
very, very difficult to beat.
They were hyping that up on American football. I'll let you know. A lot of plugs for that game on the NBC.
Yeah,
network.
Here's the thing, David. Right, as you know, it's very difficult playing as an away team.
Sure.
Especially in the Premier League, where you go to a lot of hostile grounds that against top teams that are very difficult to play against. Our record in away games in 2024, played 11, won 10,
ooh,
drawn 1, lost 0, 31 goals scored, 3 goals conceded, 9 clean sheets, minutes trailing, 0.
Wowzers.
So this entire calendar year, 2024, we have not been behind in any of our away matches.
Now, what was the quality?
That is insane to me.
What was the quality of competition?
Well, we've played against all the big teams. You know, 2 matches against Spurs, City away,
okay.
Man United away.
Okay.
I think there's a Liverpool away game in there. No, actually, that was the end of 2023. Yeah, so that's 10 wins. The only draw was away to Man City, and that was a 0-0.
Okay. I just didn't want to hear, you know, Mother Teresa's School of the Blind you're playing, you know. You just want to make sure this is quality competition. That's pretty fucking remarkable. All right, so you got a fighting chance here. All right. I'll watch.
Yeah, when we play in away matches, we're a bit like, you know, like the ancient Romans, the soldiers, they'd have those interlocking shields and do like the turtle form.
Yes.
We do like that. We just become incredibly hard to beat. And then when the other team get tired, we'll just stab them.
Hey,
nick the points.
You're not there to put on a fucking show. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, boring is good on away games. Absolutely. Well done. All right. All right. Who else? Who else is chiming in?
No, I'm tired though.
Ah, I love it. All right. We'll wrap it up. You want to wrap it up?
No, that's it.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.